I'm going to start with a really familiar passage of Scripture. I think most of us know. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's say it one more time. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That is a summary, a little condensed verse of a massive amount of theology, a massive amount of truth and stories in the Bible, all the way from Genesis right through to the book of Revelation, where God reveals himself. And we can honestly say, when we look at the sovereign hand of God throughout all history, moving everything, if I can say this, inexorably, unstoppably toward his ends. The end of history is going to culminate by the power of God. It began by the power of God, and he has worked all the way through history in his power on our behalf. And the end of all of this is going to be according to his power. And so we have bookends here. We have actually before creation. The Bible says that we were God saw us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We have the working of Christ in creation that was for our benefit. We have the working of history to lead us to the knowledge of God. We have the cross of Jesus Christ dab smack in the center of the whole thing, which brought us salvation. And we have the life of Christ, which shows us how to relate to God and how to relate to each other. And then we have this history leading up until the return of the Lord, where we get to live out Christ's life. And I can say today, and I trust you can too, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I want to talk about grace, gratefulness, and thanksgiving. Those three things. Gratefulness and thanksgiving. I want to just talk a little teeny bit about definitions here for a minute. And I'm sure that we've all thought about this at different times, but I just want to kind of condense it down into some simple things. Gratefulness is the feeling or the emotion or the attitude inside of us, in our hearts, the feeling of gratitude. Gratefulness is the feeling of gratitude that one has for what they have received. Gratefulness is the feeling of gratitude that a person has for what they have received. Thanksgiving is the act that communicates the gratitude that one has for what they have received. And so true thanksgiving actually flows out of a grateful heart. It begins somewhere. But the grateful heart actually doesn't begin in us. It begins in the receiving, in the recognition that we have received something. And whatever it is that we have received, whoever was the gift giver, our response, if it's gratefulness, it begins with that strong sense, that something inside of us that wells up in gratitude that we have received something from someone or from God. The word gratefulness and the word grace are actually from the exact same root, and they are connected to each other. The word grace, it has a number of meanings. I'm going to give you one of them. The word grace means undeserved kindness. Now, theologically, There are two primary aspects of grace. One aspect of grace is the enabling power of God, that God enables us to do things. But another aspect, the theological truth of grace, is that we received something that we did nothing for. We didn't do anything for it. There was no way that we could have gotten it for ourselves. In actual fact, we shouldn't have got it. It should never have been given to us because we didn't deserve it and we couldn't do anything to get it, and yet God gave it anyway. Not because of our work, not because we deserved it, but simply out of his love. That's one aspect of grace, undeserved kindness. Now, I want to add to that one little thought. Grace is giving to others, expecting nothing in return. I want you to think about this. The Bible says that God sent his Son, and that Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. I'm getting it backwards. I'm saying it backwards. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so in the condition that we were in the state of our human hearts, in the sinfulness of our being, there was nothing that we could possibly give. There was no way in our sinful nature that we could ever respond. But God, even while we were yet sinners, sent his Son, and Christ died for us. We experience this every single day of our lives. It's not just in salvation, but the Spirit of God, and I'm going to read some of those passages, the Spirit of God is continuously giving to us. You know, I mean, you don't even realize. We don't even realize all the ways that God is continually giving to us. And it's not whether or not you have a good day or you have a bad day, whether you sin or you don't sin, whether you spend all day in prayer and worshiped him with all your might in some spiritual day, or you had the rottenest day of your life, God is continuously giving. Continuously giving. Not because we deserve it, but because of his nature and his love. So a third definition of grace. Grace is to show favor or pleasure towards someone without them doing anything for it or deserving it. So grace is giving, expecting nothing in return, but it's also showing favor and pleasure towards someone without them doing anything for it or deserving it. So I just wanted to emphasize that aspect of what grace is. Grace is favor. Grace is pleasure. God, the Bible says, in actual fact, talking about this entire age that we live in, this age, one of the biblical descriptions of this age is this is the day of the favor of our God. This whole age, until Jesus returns, is the day of his favor. Every day is a day of God's favor. And you find that in passages of Scripture. His mercies are new every single morning. You wake up, his mercies are new every day. This is the day of God's favor. And I want to say to you today, and I know that there's a lot of preaching and people that go around that say the opposite of this, okay? There is a lot of preaching on condemnation. There's a lot of preaching that is, it just puts knots in your stomach and brings condemnation and the feeling of inadequacy into your heart. But I want to say to you today, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid the full price every single day, God looks upon your life with favor and pleasure. And we need to see this. Okay? I don't know if you believe that, but the Bible actually teaches this. We are living in the day of grace, which is the giving of favor and the giving of pleasure. It's out of his deep pleasure that he's giving to us. Did that sit well in your spirit? Or did you struggle with that? I know that all of us maybe struggle to some degree with the feeling that we really, truly are accepted by God. And that we don't have to do anything to measure up to be able to be accepted by God. I love the passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 1 where he says, he has, past tense, made us. He has made us accepted in the Beloved. And so every morning, when I wake up, I don't have to worry. There's at least one person in the universe. I don't have to worry about what they think about me. I always know what he thinks about me. I always know that his face shines upon me. I always know that there is arms that are open. There is a place of safety. There is a place of refuge. And it's continual. This is the doctrine of grace. And this is the center of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Favor has come to us. So, then, gratefulness, that's grace. Gratefulness is responding with a grateful heart because you recognize that you received something not because you deserved it or had it coming to you, but simply because someone, it was someone's pleasure to give it to you. Hey, you see the connection? Grace, out of grace, someone just desired to bless you. Out of grace, someone showed favor upon you. It was simply their pleasure. And gratefulness is the recognition that you receive something by grace. The two are connected. Grace is the way God treats us. And grace is the way that God calls us to treat others. Ephesians chapter 2. God being rich in mercy. Listen to that. God being rich in mercy. Why do we need mercy? Because we're rascals. We're scallywags. We're scoundrels. You know, we need mercy because we blow it. If you do it right, you don't need mercy. If you get it right, you don't need any mercy. You got it right. The people who need mercy are people who blow it. And this God identifies in his character. He says, this is what I'm like. God being rich in mercy for his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, rawr, and our sins, rawr. Dark, heavy. How can I express that to you? Do you see the contrast? God, here's God, rich in mercy, great in love, for which he loved us, even when we were scum, you know, in the slime of trespasses and sins. That's the contrast. He made us alive together with Christ. And then listen to these words. By grace you are saved. That's the sum of it. You were the sinner. You were the trespasser. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Couldn't help ourselves. But God, his nature, rich in mercy, full of love, and the love by which he loved us, what did he do? He made us alive together with Christ. And then this is the sum of it. Theologically, by grace are you saved. By favor, by the pleasure of God. It was his good pleasure. Not because of anything in us. Just because of his favor, his undeserved kindness. That's how you're saved. Now, brothers and sisters, this is a sermon about grace, gratefulness, and thanksgiving. Worship comes out of the continual revelation of how great a thing that God has done, the gift that God has given us, the favor that has been bestowed upon us, that we were dead, and now we are alive. We were separated from God. Now we've been joined. We were foreigners, aliens, outside of the covenant of God. And God has joined us in himself, in covenant. We didn't know God. We couldn't know God. We couldn't understand God. And God has revealed himself to us. And it isn't just our physical bodies. The air we breathe, every second of our life is a gift from God. The food on our tables is a gift from God. The clothes, all of the provision, all those things come from God. But the very life and relationship with God, the God of the universe, has come to us 100% by grace. And the response to that, response to undeserved kindness, is gratefulness. A heart that responds out of a recognition that I received something I didn't do anything for. It was just given. Not because I deserved it, but because he loved me. By grace are you saved through faith. And the response to grace is gratitude. And the outward expression of gratitude is thanksgiving. Okay? That's the center of the message that I'm trying to give to you today. Now, I want to say a couple things. True thanksgiving can never be forced. True thanksgiving. You know, as parents, we teach our kids to be thankful by saying, say thank you. And it isn't always in their heart to say thank you. It's not an automatic response to say thank you. They learn to say thank you. But there's a big difference between being forced to say thank you, and actually out of a revelation that we have received something. A gift has been given, something has been done for us. And so thanksgiving isn't forced. That's why in worship, worship cannot be a manipulation. Worship cannot be manipulating you to do something. Worship has to be God, the presence of God among us, revealing himself and us responding to him. And responding to him out of, not because he's making us do something, because of the genuine gratefulness of our heart, we're responding to him. And we are giving thanks to him for what he has done. If we force others to acknowledge the gifts that we give them, we are not actually giving a gift. Now, I want you to think about this. If we force others to acknowledge what we do for them, and we demand appreciation, we demand response, we demand, you know, we give something to them, but we expect to get something in return. They should appreciate what I do. They should acknowledge what I do. Okay? It's no longer a gift at that point. It's no longer grace. It's no longer undeserved kindness and expecting nothing in return. If we force others to acknowledge what we do, we're not actually giving a gift. We are offering a service that we expect a person to pay for. I want you to think about that. Now listen to Jesus on this one. Okay? Two passages. Romans 11, this is a complicated little theological verse. You've got to read it carefully a few times and probably in different translations. And I'm giving you a paraphrase of it. Romans 11, 6. If you receive something by grace, you didn't get it by working for it. It was a gift. If you get something by grace, you did not get it by working for it. It came to you as a gift. Otherwise, it wouldn't be grace. But if you work to get something, did you get that? If you work to get something, if you do something to get something, it is no longer grace. It's work. Do you see that? You see, if I do what I do with an expectation that you pay me in whatever way that is, it's no longer grace. I'm working, and you're going to reciprocate. So now here's what Jesus says. Okay? Luke 6. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? If you just love the people who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. Now here Jesus breaks away with everything we could possibly imagine. I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to them. You want to do good to somebody? Do good to your enemies. Lend to them. Listen to this. Without expecting to get anything back. And I can say, don't just lend to them. Don't just be kind to them. Don't just be good to them. Don't just bless them. But do it with no expectation whatsoever of getting a single thing back. And here's what he says. Then your reward will be great. Not only that, then you will be sons of the Most High God. What's that mean, a son of the Most High God? It means you're like your father. Because he is kind, listen to this, he is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Now, you want the Church of Jesus Christ to shine? You want us to really shine like a city set upon a hill? You want us to actually radiate the life of Christ? And show this world what God is really like? This is what God is really like. Then your reward will be great. If you give without expecting anything back, and you'll be the sons of the Most High God, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Now here's that word again. Be merciful. Merciful. Just as your Father in heaven is merciful. That it's not, you know, merciful is doing things for people who don't deserve it. Merciful is doing things for people who have done wrong. They've done you wrong. That's what mercy is. Okay? Now I'm going to give you a couple more scriptures and I'm going to quit. Gratefulness, the grateful heart recognizes what others do. The grateful heart acknowledges the blessing it receives. The grateful heart expresses it in a gratitude of thanksgiving. Here's one example in the Bible. Luke chapter 17. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. They called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us! Jesus!" Remember, they're a long way off. "Jesus, Master, have pity on us!" When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." As they went, they were healed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice, threw himself at Jesus' feet, and thanked him. And he was the Samaritan in the crowd. Now there's a whole message in that. But I want to suggest to you, that's what worship is. You know? We sing songs like that. "I once was lost, but now I found. And now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me." There's one song we sing that you know, talks about us being lepers, and in actual fact we were. We were outcasts. You know, we were under the disease of sin, and God reached out to us. Worship is the heart response of gratitude for what we have received. Now, here's one more I wanted to give you. 1 Chronicles 29. "Praise you, O Lord God, our Father, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor." Now here's somebody who's giving thanks. But I want you to see the heart. I'm going to tell you the heart in just a minute here. You know, praising God, acknowledging his greatness, his power, his majesty, splendor. "For everything in heaven and on earth is yours, God. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all things. Wealth and honor," listen to this, "wealth and honor come from you." We've received something. "You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt, to give strength to all." Again, receiving. "Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." Now listen to this. "But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give anything as generous as this?" Okay, think about this. Who am I? And who are we, this people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Why? Because everything comes from you. And you have and we have given only what has come from your hand. Do you get that? Did you follow that through? There's this massive amount of response of praise and worship, and in the end of it all, he says, "Who are we? You know, it's not us, you know, in ourselves, some big thing that we are now giving God praise, that, you know, out of something in ourselves and what we bring, what we offer to him, the gifts of your life, the talents that God has given you, that you yield to serve other people, even the wealth that you give through tithing or offerings or helping the poor or all of these things. We cannot look and say that any of these things came from ourselves. We might take pride." And what he's saying is, we might take pride in the fact that we did this or we gave that or whatever. But he says, this is the reality. Who am I? What am I really? What we are is this. Who am I that I should be able to give as generously as this? Everything I have comes from you, God, and we have given only what came to us from your hand. He's the source of it all, even the gift that we give away. And so there's gratefulness in it all. Now, can I suggest to you, people give in different kinds of ways. Sometimes we give grudgingly. That's, the Bible talks about that. We give grudgingly. We serve grudgingly. You know, like the guy who is knocking on the door, you know, of the guy, you know, I need a loaf of bread because I've got a visitor in my house. Knock, 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 persisting. And the guy finally comes down, you know, because of the persistence of the person knocking at the door. And sometimes that's what it's like in our lives. You know, we're tired, we're whatever, you know. And out of our hearts, it's hard to find the place of just being able to give willingly. I know it's that way in the church. But I want to say to you today, even the capacity to give the gift that you have, even the capacity to serve, it was grace that gave it to you. God, in his mercy, bestowed out of his reservoir of wealth and made you what you are, designed you with the gifts that you have, and he gave you the capacity to give away what he has given to you. You see, even those acts are acts of gratitude. They recognize that I received this by grace. God made me what I am by grace. And I give it away. How? In gratitude, because I received something from the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.